We're joined today by Dr. Rainer Fuhlmich from the now ICIC. It is so good to see you, Dr. Fuhlmich. It's been some time since we last spoke. I'm really looking forward to this conversation and the updates from you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a while, yes. And there's been some obstacles, but they're all out of the way now.
There certainly have been some obstacles, and I do want to touch on it because the people that view Z Media content, the people that are on the Stu Peters Network as well, some people may not be aware of what happened. So I just want to do a brief overview of my observations. When the Corona Investigative Committee made some announcements about the fact that you would no longer be doing interviews with Vivienne, I was quite confused at that announcement, as were many of the viewers, and people were, I'll be honest, very disheartened by it. But the problem that I had with this announcement, Rainer, was that accusations were made by the other party without evidence. And I actually have a real problem with that. I tend not to make accusations against people unless I actually have evidence for it. So you know, if you can just give us a brief overview of the fact that has been disbanded, what you're doing now, and explain to us what actually happened. I know you've addressed it publicly, but as short as you can for us.
I will, yes. Well, we still can't make any sense of this. We don't know what happened, what drove Vivian, my co-host, so to speak, of the Corona Investigative Committee, and the co-founder of it. We're both 50% shareholders. We don't understand what drove her on, I think, September the 2nd it was, to announce that I wouldn't be part of that format anymore until... And she darkly alluded to irregularities. Obviously, she meant financial irregularities had been addressed by me. Well, there are no financial irregularities. Everything is in order. No money has been embezzled. Not even she, I think, and I hope, used money for her own purposes. All the money is accounted for. So there's no real problem, except that a couple of months before this, I think this is when I returned from this Crimes Against Humanity tour in the U.S., I told her that I would be going back to the U.S. In order to work with some of the American colleagues on new cases to be filed in America, in those venues in America where the judiciary still functions. And there are still some venues in the U.S. where the judiciary functions, as opposed to Germany, where literally none of the judges, even those who are on our side, dare speak up and decide against the official narrative, because they're all in fear of either losing their jobs or having or being pulled into a criminal investigation, which is what happened to the judge in Weimar. So I don't know what happened, except that some of the people who have been watching our format, some of the psychologists and psychiatrists whom we had interviewed, said it may have something to do with your announcement to her that you're going back to the United States, even though I had took great pains in assuring her that, just like I did the last time I was in the U.S., I would, of course, continue to work on the Corona Investigative Committee. You know, when I was in California, I got up at 6 a.m, which was 3 p.m. in Germany, and we did our show. No problems with that. I don't know, that maybe that's what caused her to snap. There is no evidence at all. If there were, she probably would have either filed a criminal complaint or a civil complaint or whatever. To make a long story very short, I'm really, really glad to be away from her and to be able to do my own thing, because this is the format that I've always been wanting to do. It's much broader in scope because it looks not just at Corona, but also at the other tools out of the other sides of Mr. Global's toolbox, including the Ukraine crisis, including global warming or climate change, and food shortages, energy crisis, whatever. And we're also able to offer solutions. We want to show people, or give people a chance to explain their idea of how we can live in our own little, like, you know, guerrilla type self-sufficient communities, how we can set them up, how we can produce our own energy at literally no cost. Those are the two major purposes or missions of the ICIC format, the International Crimes investigative committee, and it's just fun. It's fun to be working with people who take things seriously, who are reliable, who are on time when the format starts, and and I know we're doing the right thing. We have the right people, and we're doing the right thing, and it looks as though our viewers appreciate what they're seeing.
I certainly can appreciate the investigation that you're doing, particularly you mentioned to me just before we started recording that, you know, you interviewed Dr. Nixon recently, the importance of actually investigating the graphene oxide, confirming what is actually in the injections, because the reality is until we have concrete answers, we're not actually able to help people. You can't detox from something you don't know for certain. So all of these things are crucial and your work is crucial. I'm appreciative of the International Crimes Investigative Committee. There's a new channel set up, so people should go there and follow what you've been doing. But this amazing recent interview that you did with Dr. Naomi Wolf and Dr. Peter Breggin, and it's based on some findings from Dr. Bhakti, who I've also spoken with some time ago. He's a fantastic man. I just want to play some footage from that interview now, from your presentation. First, based on what Dr. Bhakti said, and then a little bit of what Dr. Breggin said. Here's that footage now.
Kevin, you're going to have leakage of those very vaccines into the organs. Now you have to realize, guys, that your vessel system is the most intricate system of tunnels in existence. And that system is completely, it's not possible. Large molecules and viruses can't get past that barrier. Your walls are sealed, actually. But if you go around making holes in the walls, then get out. And then they get to the heart muscle cell and the brain cells and the liver cells and whatever cells that happen to be attacked. But because these packages are in the whole circulation, they reach all the organs of your body, everywhere. Now, this is a microcast of the microvasculature of the human brain, adult. Your brain consumes 20% of the oxygen of the body. And capillaries are so wonderfully, intricately integrated within the brain material. If each capillary is feeding, I don't know how many cells, but those cells are dependent on the circulation. If a clot forms in these capillaries, if something happens to the capillaries, those cells that are being fed are going to die. Now, you know how wonderful our brain is. Nature, God, someone gave it to the human being. And each area of your brain is responsible for something else. One is responsible for recognition, for memory, for movement, for your psyche, for empathy, for your personality. No one really knows where what is, okay? But I can tell you, dementia, Alzheimer, is associated with, very often associated with microclots and micronecrosis in the frontal brain. It's very typical. But of course, there's also an area that if you knock it out, you get jerks, Huntington disease, you know. So you cannot afford to clog any single capillary in the brain. If you do this, there is going to be consequences that are irreversible because the brain, the heart is similar, by the way. The heart consumes 10% of oxygen. And the athletes, you know, I saw tennis yesterday. Then the heart consumes over 80% of the oxygen. And each of these capillaries in the heart is responsible for feeding myocardial tissue. And if that dies, it is the second organ that cannot repair the lesions. It's dead for life. Imagine. Now, we said over 2 years ago, It has to be feared that these spike proteins, of course, will be appearing then on the vessel wall, and that will seed the routes for thrombosis and for leakage. Can this be shown? Well, let me tell you that there's a paper now in preparation by a very, very wonderful pathologist whose name is not mentioned here on purpose. He does not want his name mentioned. The paper is not yet published officially. What he found was something so startling and so unique that I said, I'm going to use this chance to show it to you. So what he found was, there was a man deceased after the third vaccination, and no one knew what he had died from. And the pathology looked at his brain. And what he found was multifocal means at many points in the brain, many. Necrotizing means dying and dead. Encephalitis. This is something that has been reported about 10 times in the world literature following infection by the flu, influenza. But never otherwise. This case is the first case where clearly it is not the flu and it is also not corona. It is the spike protein. Okay? Because he found on the endothelial cells of the capillaries. Now, Marguerite is also sitting here, Marguerite. You will see it's true. You know, capillary thrombosis is something that is not known in the brain. It doesn't happen. But here, it's the capillaries. And when they are closed, the cells die. There's no way to get out of this. No way.
So I was not expecting to find what I'm about to say, which is that the damage being done, probably the most important damage being done, the two things are the deaths and the infertility. Now, that is a program. Nearly all the globalists, whether it's Bill Gates or whether it's even Fauci has talked this way in so-called scientific articles, or Klaus Schwab, or Xi Jinping from important part. So we have infertility and we have actually culling. But there's another aspect of brain damage now when you get into the brain, and that is conformity and docility. Mm-hmm. So when they finally got around to doing detailed studies of lobotomy, one of the ways that they put it, and these were the people who favored lobotomy, they said the person in a controlled, confined situation does reasonably well. That is, they're manageable, they don't get out of control, they can be led about, they will line up and get their dinners. They do not get very, they'll get irritable, but they don't have the energy to do a criminal act or the energy or planning to really get into serious trouble. Walter Friedman bragged about that. He said, you know, these stories of bank robbers by lobotomized people, why they don't have the ability to plan or the energy or the concern. Very proudly about what they're doing to human beings. Now, what is better for totalitarian mass than producing docility, lack of being able to plan anything, that like a rebellion. So to the extent that they anticipated a brain damage, a generalized brain damage reaction, docility is, that's such a big part of it. And one of the things I noticed immediately because I got to see a lot of lobotomized patients. It was 1954 to 58 that I was in college. And I got to see shock treatment and insulin coma treatment because I would just walk in and I was recognizable. People thought I'd been given the keys. I just didn't return them one night and nobody complained. And what I noticed was very, very apparent to me as a college, by now maybe a sophomore when I'm really, really active, And that is that when the person would be led in, say, to the insulin coma, which is simply giving you an injection of insulin sufficient to deprive your brain of enough sugar to kill you, that one of the basic things that I could see was that people came in as human beings. They were angry, most of them, upset. They didn't want to be in this place. They would certainly be irritable. They'd be difficult to handle. And then they'd get knocked out by the insulin. They'd go into seizures. They were literally dying. And then they'd be given sugar, water, or orange juice with extra sugar, and they'd come out of it. And now they were not just docile. They were grateful for having their lives saved. They were completely helpless, docile people. And that was the goal. So I knew from the beginning that all the other things they were saying about biochemical imbalances or improving their mental health was all nonsense. This was a total institution, very similar to an extermination camp. They were just having their way with these people, making them more amenable. And then the same story when the psych drugs came in, the big antipsychotic drugs, which came in the 50s. I got to see some of their effects. One dose produced somebody similar to somebody who'd been abused in a concentration camp. One dose made people docile. And as Naomi mentioned, this occurs through the destruction or at least increasing dysfunctionality in the frontal lobes of the brain. But the brain's also...
So, I mean, I watched this in awe, and I really thought it makes so much sense to me. And I realize it's just a theory at this stage, but it makes so much sense to me, Dr. Fjellmich. I've personally witnessed behavioral changes in those who've had the injections. Dr. Stephanie Seneff some time ago spoke about that with me, spoke about the neurodegenerative problems that the spike protein and the inflammation in the body is causing, how that's actually affecting the brain with various prion diseases. People are developing Parkinson's, early onset Alzheimer's, a range of different issues. But we're talking about, the comparison of people that are being lobotomized is astounding. Talk to us about what your thoughts on this are.
Well, it all started out with my wife and me going to our favorite restaurant here in town, where all the people who worked there, including, of course, the waiters and waitresses, had always been, sort of like friends of ours, because we like to interact with people, and they came to our table. We would have a glass of wine or a glass of beer together. We would talk with them. And all of a sudden, after the start of the vaccination, they seemed to be completely changed, not each and every one of them, but some of them. Some of them just weren't able, this is what we thought we were observing, weren't able to really concentrate. They came to our table maybe twice or three times in a row asking, what was it you ordered? Was it a wine or was it a beer? What kind of wine was it? And we thought we were imagining things. And then there's this one waitress, a really nice woman who had always been very funny. And all of a sudden, she seemed to be walking around like a robot, barely looking at us, just taking our order and then walking back to wherever she came from, but not even talking to us. And that's what I remembered when I was in Athens a couple of months ago with Susharit Bhakti, Professor Susharit Bhakti. And I wasn't prepared for what he was telling us, because that was the second time. The first time was a week or so earlier in Vienna, but this was the second time that he explained about his and his wife's findings with respect to personality changes induced by the mRNA vaccine technique. And I told him before he went on stage, I said, am I imagining things, or are you sure about this? He said, I'm absolutely certain about this, and I'm not the only one. As you said, Stephanie Seneff is another scientist who was alluding to this phenomenon early on.
Yes.
And she's brilliant, of course. So I decided this is so important because people need to understand why it may sometimes just be a waste of time and energy to try and talk to those who got the shots, especially when they don't want to talk. And that's where I think this explanation makes a lot of sense. You cannot reach these people anymore because, as Dr. Peter Breggin, one of the most famous psychiatrists in the United States, when he said, this reminds me a lot of lobotomy, because he's the one who literally ended the practice. They call it a medical practice. It's a crime against humanity, one of the most horrendous crimes against humanity ever committed. When he said, this reminds me a lot of a lobotomy, everything made sense to me.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's certainly not every person. I've spoken to many people who are injected who still are quite sharp. They know that what was done to them was wrong. And I wonder what the key there is. I wonder why is it it seems like those who believe that the shots work well, that they did the right thing, they're the ones that just kind of glazed over. Whereas those who really feel a strong sense of injustice seem to still be able to hear the truth. It's quite fascinating, really. So I wonder what it is, what is that link?
I do too. It's, you know, some of the, both the lawyers and the scientists who try to get a better understanding of what's going on, all of us seem to agree that apart from the rational basis on which we're used to think along the lines of rationality, of course, there's something else. Why do people fall in love, for example? I think it has to do with spirituality. There is another dimension out there, which most of us, especially scientists, more so even lawyers, have not even been aware of. But as I said many times before, I think I'm aware of this. I do believe that there's a higher power out there. And so many, many scientists said to me that they believe it has something to do with people agreeing with what is being done or not agreeing with what is being done. Of course, you can consent to the measures, but the big question is, was that consent valid consent? Of course not. In 99.99999% of the cases, it wasn't valid because there was no information given, no information whatsoever. But those who kind of gave in to pressure, their consent is certainly not valid. It may have something to do with this inner attitude, maybe, but we don't know. This is speculation. On the other hand, we don't know what's in the vials. We still don't know what's in the vials. There's a lot of speculation. In some of the vials, all kinds of contaminants were found. In some of the vials, obviously, even graphene oxide was found, but not in all of the vials. So we don't know if maybe they're still experimenting with us. What we do know, and that's why I'm saying we do need conclusive evidence for everything, in particular, if we want to go to court with these cases. But what I do know for certain is two things. One, the PCR test is the one tool that they used in order to create a pandemic when there wasn't any. I'm absolutely 1,000% certain about that one. The other one is these, and of course, therefore, no vaccine was ever necessary because there's no pandemic. But we also know, and I'm certain of that, that the so-called vaccines, regardless of which ones, are not effective whatsoever, not at all, and that they're extremely dangerous. Those are the three facts that I think we could show in any court of law. If they allow themselves to look at the evidence, which most German courts won't do. They try to get away from having to look into the real evidence, into the merits of the case, by evading the issue by concentrating on or focusing on idiotic formalities. Claiming, for example, you can't sue Wheeler, who is the counterpart of Fauci in Germany. You can't sue him. You have to sue the government. Of course, we can sue him. But at any rate, As long as we have a judge or a court that will look at the evidence, I'm sure of these three facts. We can prove them without any problems. Everything else seems to be up in the air right now.
So I have questions on that, because we've spoken in the past about taking this to local courts, perhaps in the United States. I know that proceedings have started in India against Bill Gates. That is something that should be on every single alternative media channel and mainstream media channel in the world, following people dying after the injections. So that has actually started in India. Wonderful news. I wanted to ask you, Dr. Fuelmich, because I heard that similar proceedings are starting in Paris, but I would find that very, very difficult to believe, considering how under the thumb of Macron the people of France are. Have you heard of proceedings starting in France?
I know that there are pretty massive efforts underway to start such proceedings. Some of the lawyers who I'm in touch with, you may have spoken with some of them. Virginie is one of the members of the international group of lawyers that conducted this model grand jury investigation, and our colleague Jean-Luc Duhamel. They're working on these cases. I don't know how far they've gotten, but I'll put you in touch with them so that you'll get direct information from them.
Yes,
the French, of course, are much more apt to take to the streets and to demonstrate and to rally, much more so than the Germans. The Germans are an obedient people. Maybe they didn't used to be like this, but over the last 150 years or so, we have become a very authority-minded people, because that's what they wanted us to be. Not all of us, but most of us. It's totally different in France. Now, there's a lot of speculation in Western Europe and in the West in general. Is the other side going to have to resort to a new tool in order to keep us in panic mode? Because even those who got the shots, many of them who got the shots, including my own sister, are doubting that they made the right choice. So they're really more and more people are really critical. That's why a lot of people suspect that the other side is going to use this other tool out of their toolbox, the Ukraine crisis, and push this war into Germany and then Western Europe. I don't know how real this danger is, but there's a lot of talk about this. So when that comes, or the reason why it comes, will be that many people just don't buy the narrative anymore. The weird thing is, how can you accept another lie from someone who obviously lied to you before? We'll see what happens.
There are so many things to unpack there, but I want to ask you, in terms of the last time you and I spoke, you said that you thought that the next thing that they would be using would be VAIDS to create the next pandemic or create the next crisis. And it looks like we're on the precipice of that, particularly here in Australia and in Canada. Now, they've said that lockdowns are possible over Christmas. They're not ruling them out, but they're not, they don't think it's likely, but they're using these words in the media again. Now, I think, Dr. Fuelmich, they're doing another social experiment as we speak to see how the two most compliant nations, Canada and Australia, will respond to this type of language. And lo and behold, in the next breath after I reported on this, an announcement was made, a county in Ontario, Canada, mask mandates have returned. So it really does look like they're trying it on, these two nations, again. And of course, we do have cases exploding. We do have hospitals full. These are, as you said, faulty PCR cases. And I think most certainly the failing immune systems of the injected.
Yeah, this is what most people who we spoke with, most experts who we spoke with, expected for this fall. Well, many expected it to happen already a year ago, but it didn't happen a year ago, at least not on this scale. Now it's happening. When we spoke in the summer of this year, we spoke to another expert from Munich, and he said, and he's in agreement with Sushrit Bhakti, for example. He said, in the fall, this fall, this whole thing is going to explode because for two reasons. One, all of those who got the shots, in particular those who got the mRNA shots, will have badly damaged immune systems. Two, and that's because they're susceptible and more likely to suffer serious problems when a virus attacks. A normally harmless virus attacks, but your immune system doesn't go up, doesn't protect you. That's why you're gonna need maybe even care in a hospital. Two, the people in the hospitals, the healthcare people, their personnel, they're in the same situation because many of them were forced to get the shots themselves. So who is there to help? That's why the situation is so grave. Not because of the virus, I don't think, at least. We're still debating whether or not these gain of function experiments made the virus more dangerous. Probably not. They may have tried to make it more dangerous, but if it had been more dangerous, we would have seen excess mortality. We didn't, not before the start of the vaccinations. But whatever they did, another theory is that the gain of function experiments didn't really happen. I mean, they may have happened, but even those who participated, including Fauci and Drosten from Germany, maybe they didn't know that this was just a show, just to make people believe that the virus is much more dangerous than it is. But regardless of what really happened, if there had been gain of function experiments, they did not, at least not, do what maybe they tried to make it do. It did not become any more dangerous than the flu, because it was still between, the infection fatality rate was still between, now I think they're saying between 0.1 and 0.2%, which is in line with the flu. But the more dangerous part of this bioweapon, if you want to call it that, and I think Professor Francis Boyle calls it a bioweapon. Many people agree on this, many scientists do. But it's a two-part bioweapon. It's the virus, plus, because it seems as though it has been engineered, plus the shots. The virus, they used in a combination with a PCR test to make everyone afraid, to make everyone believe, oh my God, this is a deadly pandemic, when of course it wasn't. Yes. But part two is what they really wanted everyone to agree to, and that's getting the shots, and that is what's causing the real problems. I don't think, however, that the people in Western Europe, and I doubt that the people in Australia and in Canada, will go along with another lockdown. Because I think many of those, even in Canada and Australia, many of those who've gotten the shots have in the meantime been exposed to a different kind of narrative. And that's what you and I and others are doing. The alternative media are being seen. They do understand, many of those who are questioning whether this makes any sense, even though they got the shots, they're looking at alternative sources of information. They're looking at what we have to offer. And that's why I don't think it's going to work. They're trying to make us, you know, the same thing you heard about the, now they're all talking about, I think this started in the United States, but it's here in Europe as well. Amnesty. What is that? What does that mean? Amnesty? If you ask for amnesty, you agree that you've done something wrong,
correct,
something seriously wrong, because, or else you wouldn't be asking for amnesty. But why are they doing this? I think they're just testing the waters. I think they're trying to see how we react to it. I do think that they need to kind of regroup because they're not really on track anymore. We also have to keep in mind that the other side, Mr. Global, is not just one monolithic a group of people, but they're all fighting each other. That's the basis of why we don't know who they are, but maybe Freemasonry plays a big role in this. But they're not one monolithic group of people. So I think they're just testing the waters, but it does show us that they're in trouble to a degree. We don't know how far this goes, but I think they're with their backs against the wall, actually.
I wanted to ask you the findings of the Corona Investigative Committee, the previous findings, when you did an announcement prior to the ICIC official establishment and channels, you did say that evidence you still had access to. So is that the case, Dr. Filmich? You do still have the collection of the findings. You're able to actually, you know, share that with local courts as you initially planned to?
Yes. This is work product. What the Corona Investigative Committee did is work product. It's not exactly attorney work product, but sort of like that. And I'm at least 50% of the reason why this work product exists. I'm a 50% shareholder still in the Corona Investigative Committee. That's why it's so bizarre that Vivian decided that she would take control and shut me out. But of course, also, this is public. This is more or less in the public domain. Anyone can download the interviews. And what we're going to do on ICIC is, and I've been wanting to do this for a long time, we're going to have an index, a search function, so that the whole story, if anyone is interested in the whole story and not just pieces of the puzzle, they can inform themselves accordingly. But we're also going to have transcripts of every one of the important interviews, and then we're going to put it into book form. We're going to make it available as a book so that the whole story, starting with eugenics, moving on to the founding of the British Eugenics Society, the American Eugenics Society, then the speech of Julian Huxley, former president of the British Eugenics Society, at the founding of UNESCO, when he said, oh, eugenics has been given a bad name, this is right after the war, by Hitler, but pretty soon we're going to be able to talk about it again. Then we're going to walk through the three major exercises, Operation Dark Winter, clearly a military exercise, shows what we're really dealing with, and Rockefeller, lockstep, and then Event 201, the role of the WHO, how the PCR test was misused in order to create the pandemic that doesn't exist. And then we're going to look at the vaccines, the so-called vaccines. They're not necessary. They're neither effective nor are they safe. And then we're also going to take a look at the really dark side that this is evolving into, and that's genocide. The whole picture in one book.
I want to talk about that dark side for a moment, because I think that it's really important to face what we're dealing with here, Dr. Filmich. And, you know, that in the beginning, so many people that doubted the injections were saying, you know, they're going to kill people. We're going to have people dropping suddenly. And now we're seeing that almost on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And these psychopaths are coming onto our televisions and telling us to go and get more injections. They know that people are dropping left, right, and center, young, healthy people. I just interviewed one embalmer, one funeral director. Baby deaths are through the roof from vaccinated or injected, I like to say, mothers. And they know this, and they're still telling pregnant women to do it. What level of psychopathy do you have to be at? You know, I don't think some people really grasp what we're dealing with here. We are dealing with global killers.
Yes. Yes, we absolutely are. I think we do have to see this. We can't avoid looking at this very gruesome picture. But as I keep saying, only if you understand what's really going on are you going to make the right choices. Only if you understand that these monsters, we're talking about evil, pure evil. I didn't think it existed, but it does. Only if you understand that they're trying to literally kill us, and including babies. Only if you understand that will you be able to, one, refuse another injection, and decide that we're going to have to do something. Stand up and fight this. Do not try and fix the system, because the system has been so badly infiltrated by these people on all levels, politics, media, the medical community, the judiciary. It's collapsing anyway. But we must understand that this system is dying. It is dying while it's trying to kill us. It's dying. And therefore, we need to create our own little guerrilla self-sufficient communities with our own energy resources, et cetera, et cetera. But the two most important things is we must stop them and we must hold them accountable. I'm not saying we're going to have to ask for the death sentence, because I used to be in favor of it, but I absolutely changed my mind. And my friend Martin Schwab, Professor Martin Schwab, one of the best lawyers I know, he's a professor of law. He's a Christian, and he keeps telling me, Reiner, we don't have to do that. The boss will take care of that.
Oh, no, that's absolutely correct. But what we want to see is them rotting in isolation, in solitary confinement, you know, in cells where their human rights are quite limited, in line with what sort of pain they've caused other humans. You know, there are people that have spent time alone for 2 years because their entire families have turned against them. Now, I'm not calling for human rights violations. I mean, I say that, but I don't have it in me.
You're calling for justice.
I don't have it in me. Even to see the most evil people punished horribly, I actually don't have it in me. I leave that to the real judge. But yes, we are calling for justice. There can be no amnesty with murderers who are still willing to murder. That you just can't. You cannot. Yeah. And I will forgive the people that were deceived, but as I've said multiple times now, these people need to look at those who were warning about the injections early on, who were willing to lose their entire careers, who were willing to lose the ability to feed their families, and say, what did they know that I didn't? And what else do they know? What else do these people know? And it's exactly what you were saying before, Dr. Filmy. What's happening in Ukraine, food security, the global financial collapse, everything else that they're orchestrating right now in line with the plans of the Great Reset that we need to be aware of. And I do believe you're correct in the sense that while we fight this, we need to have backup plans, and we need to start looking at other ways to live outside the system, because ultimately, if you don't have a digital ID, you're out.
Yes. And that's why I'm saying it's okay to be with one foot within the system. For example, if you want to keep collecting your pension as long as they pay for it, we should do that, of course. But at the same time, we must realize, I believe, that this system is on the verge of collapse. Maybe it is collapsing right now before our eyes. But there's absolutely no way anyone can save this system. Forget it. It's not worth the time and the effort to try and save the system from within. We have to start with a new one, and then justice comes. Justice will come, because apart from what the boss is going to do, as Martin says, we as attorneys, we'll have to take care of everything else, including taking down these corporations. Taking them down in order to take back what they've stolen from us. The global corporations, the global NGOs, and those who are behind it. Because no one, of these people at least, got rich because they were so smart and clever. No, they stole everything from us, and we're going to take it back. That's what our task as lawyers will be, and that's why I believe the Anglo-American system, in particular the American legal system, is probably much better in a much better position to do this than the civil law system. That's the common law system, and ours here in Western Europe, with the exception of Great Britain, of course, is the civil law system. We don't have class actions. We don't have a functioning law of evidence, and we do not have punitive damages, which is what we need in order to take down these corporations. Because once you can show intent, and we can, if you look at the PCR test, you definitely know what I'm talking about. Once you talk about intent, intentional infliction of harm, you walk in directly into punitive damages territory.
I'm all for taking down the corporations and holding them accountable in courtrooms if we are able to do that effectively. And I know that, you know, the creation of the ICIC, International Crimes Investigative Committee, is there to assist with that. So what I'd really love to do, Dr. Filmic, is just focus on the next few minutes, what it is that you're planning on doing moving forward, and from your angle, in your sphere, the legal sphere, what the action plan is while people do honestly and seriously start looking at how they're going to survive outside of this system?
Well, two things. I do not think, I still don't think that the courts of law will stop this. It's going to have to be the people who will do this. The people need to rise up. In order to rise up and fight back, refuse to give their consent to anything that they want us to do, to anything they want, even go to war, don't do it anymore. In order for people to understand that that's what they have to do, is they have to understand what's really going on, including they have to take a look at the horrible vision that we can see once we see through their lies, including the fact that they're trying to kill us, that, because that's the only way that people will rise up and fight this. But the other level on which we need to continue to fight, we as lawyers need to continue to fight, is, of course, the legal system. Now, we know that, in particular here in Europe, in Western Europe, the judiciary has been badly corrupted. Here in Germany, out of 65,000 judges, I believe we have, maybe 200, maybe 300 are still willing to uphold the law, but they will not speak out anymore after they went after this judge in Weimar, who simply did his job, searched his car, his house, and his office, and seized his computer, his cell phone, did the same thing to the three experts who he called upon, professors, renowned professors. After that happened, and that was meant to send a message to the rest of the legal community, to the judiciary, if you're not in line with us, this is what we're going to do to you. So you can't count on the German legal system. You probably cannot count on any of the legal systems in Europe anymore, because Europe, in my view, was supposed to be the first under the EU, which is their creation. It's one of those international institutions that we need to distance ourselves from. We need to disconnect from the EU, from NATO, from the WHO, from the World Monetary Fund, all of these global institutions, be it corporations or NGOs. We need to distance ourselves from them. That's why we need a new system. But there is still hope that in countries like India, you just mentioned the cases, I think there are three criminal investigations going on against Bill Gates. And if worse comes to worse, he's going to face the death penalty. But apart from India, there's also still many places in the United States. There are some places that are totally corrupted, but other venues, other parts of the judiciary that still function. So that is the next thing that we're going to do. That's why I kept telling everyone that I'm going to have to go back to the States and work with my colleagues there, who are much more experienced. They have much more trial experience in the US, that is, than I do. Most of my trial experience is in German courtrooms. I know that there are a lot of really good people in the US, a lot of good lawyers. Many of them work with my friend Leslie Manukian, for example, or with my friend Anna Garner, who's an attorney from New Mexico. And we want to, two things we want to do. We want to first agree on a set of facts. As you said, real facts, verifiable facts, not just speculation. And then we're going to put this into a legal proceeding, probably a complaint, a big complaint for damages, maybe different groups of plaintiffs will then join, groups, classes, class actions, groups of those that suffered economic damages because their businesses were destroyed due to the lockdowns, and of course groups of people, classes of people who suffered health damages or even lost their relatives. And we're trying, this is in the works right now, we're trying to come up with a really good plan of how we may even be able to internationalize this, not just by asking the court to agree that this particular complaint for damages is going to go forward as a class action, even as an international, or they call it an open class action, but maybe we can export these cases to other countries as well, because I have been in this business, if you can call it a business, for 29 years now, 28 or 29 years, 29. And the one thing that I learned in the German courts of law is, or two things. One, they're totally corrupted. And two, if enough pressure is applied, and we've seen this in both the Deutsche Bank cases and in the VW cases, if enough pressure is applied, if enough pressure comes from outside, for example, the United States, the German judiciary will cave in and follow suit. So that's what I think is going to happen.
Yes. Well, I mean, every single effort needs to continue. And I know people are very tired, Dr. Fiume. They're tired because they can't see progress. They're tired because what they see is an onslaught of attacks from the globalists. And what happens is you think you've got one battle here, and you and by the time you dedicate energy, time and resources to that, there's already something new. And there's already something new. And this is actually the agenda. It's designed this way. And it's designed to tire you out. And it's designed to make you feel hopeless and helpless. But that is not, we're not going to let them defeat our minds like that. I often say, do not let the tyrants rule your mind. They can try and rule every other part of my life, but they'll never get in here. And that's, and I live by that, you know, and I recall at one point, you know, or a couple of points, waking up, having quite a bad day, feeling quite overwhelmed. And my immediate thought was, am I going to let these people rule my mind? No, I'm not. You know, this is the tenacity that we need from everyone right now. Yes, we're tired. Yes, we're beaten down. We're at war with the most evil people on the planet. In their own words, Jacinda Ardern openly said it, that governments of the world are at war with those who spread misinformation and climate change deniers, and the whole of the United Nations applauded for her. I've been going on about that for weeks now. I thought it was atrocious, that speech.
Absolutely. So,
all of these things are true, but we must be strong and we must keep going forward. And I'm so glad that the ICIC is doing that. Dr. Fiumic, we thank you so much for your effort, your time, and we look forward to further updates from you.
You know, I like what I'm doing. Apart from the fact that the past 2 months and a half have been difficult, and apart from the fact that I wish this corona crisis was over, I'm glad that we have it, because it opened my eyes. I keep telling you and others that had it not been for corona, I would have had my doubts about the system, because I was always thinking, what's going on in these courts of law? Why is it that I'm not just fighting the opposing party's attorneys when we go after global corporations, but it looks as though the judges are on their side as well. Well, now we know, because they've been infiltrating the system for decades, probably much longer than that. So I'm glad about that one. And I'm still enjoying life. I have a perfect wife. I have two dogs. I have friends who have my back. You know, as long as my wife loves me, as long as my dogs want to play with me and my friends have my back, what do I have to worry about? I enjoy what I'm doing. It's not really fun, but I take pride in doing the best I can in order to bring this to a stop, a full stop, and then go after those who are responsible.
I think many people on the side of truth and freedom would agree with you, Dr. Fiumic, that this gave us, and I hate to use these words because Klaus Schwab does, but it gave us the opportunity to really look at the world for what it is and decide, no, I am completely unplugged from this system. I will have nothing to do with it. Yes, as you said, certain functions within their system have to continue, you know, pensions, this, that, the other, but perhaps, I don't know, I don't want to argue about that with people right now, but I have resolved to do whatever I can to become independent from their systems. And this, in my opinion, makes stronger individuals, makes more resilient individuals, and it makes us able to resist what is coming. And we know there's so much more. Dr. Fiumic, thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for your time, because we're all on the same side. We're all in the same boat. And I think the first person who mentioned this to me is Jeremy Nell from Germ Warfare. You may have spoken with him. He's from South Africa. Great guy and very funny, very funny. And he said, you know, I've met so many people who I feel have become instant friends. And I feel the same way. We're not wasting our time on small talk at a boring party anymore. We're doing the real thing. We're talking to real people, and that's good.
I agree. Looking forward to catching up with you very soon, Dr. Fiume.
Thank you, Maria. We'll be in touch.
Goodbye. Absolutely.